I want to share a little bit about my life, when my fire began, and where I am today. My rebirthing process started about 25 years ago. I'm not one of those people that said on January 2nd, 1945 at 2:15, I was born again, because my rebirthing process didn't happen like that. It's been a journey. And I almost think that, for me personally, I'm not totally going to be reborn until I take my last breath and all my humanness is gone. Then I think I'll finally be reborn, truly. But the process started 25 years ago in a factory that I worked at. Typical factory, people. They talk like factory guys. I was one of them. Factory attitudes. There was this guy that worked there named Gary Crosby. He worked in the warehouse. And he was your typical factory worker, smoker, drinker, cusser, gambler. One Monday, he came back to work, and he said, "Hey, guys, I met this new friend." And he was telling everybody he met this new friend. And he said, "This new friend that I met, man, took my drinking and my smoking and my gambling and all the bad stuff in my life away, just like that." He said, "I'm reborn. I'm born again." And we all knew Gary. We're like, okay, Gary. But over time, listening to Gary drive through the warehouse, singing hymns at the top of his voice, telling people, "God is coming, you better repent." After a while, the more he talked to you, the more you began to listen. And I found myself listening to Gary and kind of debating with him sometimes. And then all of a sudden, I found myself reading the Bible. I don't know why. I remember one time I would go and to my mom and dad's house, and I would share with them. I'd share with my dad, "Man, I read this scripture today. Man, it just makes me feel so good." And he says, "What does it mean?" And I said, "I don't know what it means, man, but it's exciting stuff." And I learned a little bit more of what it means now. People at work began to say, "Man, you act different." And it wasn't because I was saying I was different, but they said, "You act different. You don't cuss anymore. Your attitude's better." I just found a desire to read the Bible. And I can't explain it. It's just there. I just would pick it up every night and read it. I remember one time my sister was in the car with me. And she told me, "Hey, Kev, Mom's really worried about you. You're different. She's afraid you're going to go join a cult." Honest to God. And I said, "Don't worry about me. I'm good." And then I started telling her, "You need to find Jesus too." So this went on. Sherry and I got married in a church. I didn't know Jesus. This was before. We decided that we needed to find a church. So we went back to church that we got married. We called Pastor Rick, and he's like, "Uh-oh." You know what usually that means when people don't go to church and he marries you and you call him? Uh-oh, trouble. But we explained to him that we found this new friend named Jesus, and we want to be part of the church. And what happened to us in that church is probably what happens to most young, married couples full of energy on fire for Jesus. Pretty soon you find yourself on every board. You find yourself leading Sunday school. Find yourself leading adult classes. You find yourself there four nights a week. And that's where we were at. Just a few months ago, we were talking about the same thing down in youth group about being on fire for God. And the question did come up, You know, how do you maintain that fire? And in, you know, about a half an hour worth of discussion, we decided the way that you stay on fire for God is to stay with other believers that are on fire for God. You spend as much time with other believers that are on fire for God. We kind of likened it to you take a pot of boiling water, and you can take a cup full of water and you can walk around with it and it starts to cool. But if you get it back in the pot quick enough, it heats right back, it heats up quick. But the longer and the farther away from that pot you walk, the more it cools and the more time it takes to reheat it. So we kind of all agreed that we need to be together as much as we can. So then I started preparing for today, and I started thinking back about our first church. And I started thinking, you know, we were there 4 days a week, sometimes five, doing everything, spending time with people. And it suddenly occurred to me that, well, let me back up. You know, I started questioning why we had lost our fire. Why by the end of our journey at that church, we no longer were on fire. And it occurred to me that probably the reason that we weren't on fire by the end of that 10-year stay is because most of the people there weren't on fire. You know, we thought that we were with believers that were on fire, so we should be on fire. But the reason why is because most of them weren't on fire. There were people on fire because I can still picture them in my mind. But too many of them had got too far away from the pot, and it cooled. So then I started thinking, okay, what killed their fire? Why wasn't that church on fire? And there's three things that I can remember of what must have took the fire out of that church. The first, they didn't have any money. We used to be a church, when we started at that church, we were talking about adding on. I remember the first thing that Rick did is pulled Sherry and I in and said, hey, get on this exciting little journey that we're on. We want to do an addition to the church. Get in on this. You guys are full of energy. You can help me sell this. But over time, things happened. We went through a couple pastors that pissed some people off. They left. There was the normal people passing away. Didn't have any money. So we went from the joy and the fire of adding on and growing to just trying to survive. And that'll kill the fire. Secondly, even 25 years ago, in that very church, and I kid you not, we were having the debate over how to get the 30 and 40-year-olds to come to an older congregation. It split the church right down the middle. It's been this way since I've been here. It's worked. This is the way we're going. We're staying the same. This side, we got to grow, guys. We gotta get those younger kids in here, or we're not going to make it. I have to be honest with you guys, the church lasted a few more years. Sherry and I eventually left because we seen it wasn't going anywhere. We seen there was no future, and the church closed. The church closed the doors. It happens. And the last thing was the backbiting. I remember it. I remember being part of it. You know those after church parking lot conversations? Yeah, those late night phone calls. We had a special one there. It's called the Round Table down at Bandidos. Fun to go there and talk about all the things you hate about the church, all the things that are wrong with the church. I definitely know now, looking back, that there wasn't much fire there. And I was contributing to that. I don't know which side you're on. I don't know if you're on fire. I know there are people here that are on fire. I see them. I hear them. I'm sure there's some people lukewarm. There may even be some people that are cold. I can tell myself when I'm losing the fire because I no longer sing with passion. I no longer sing like I'm singing to God. I'm just kind of singing. I know when I'm not on fire, when I'm sitting there during prayer time thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner, what I'm going to do later that day. I know when I'm no longer on fire, when I'm not evangelizing. Man, when I was on fire, I'm handing Bibles out at work. I'm finding people. I'm looking for people. I don't find myself doing that much anymore. You know, I think back about when I was on fire, and I mean on fire. I was on fire for God when I accepted Him, not because I was a Bible scholar and I had all the answers, because I had a desire to know about Him. I had a desire to know Him. I kid you not, I went to work. I got up praying to God. I went to bed praying to God, forgive me for all the mistakes I made today. All day long at work, just conversation between me and God. I was even thinking, man, I'm going to go crazy if I don't stop this. I'm just going to go crazy. I'm just so on fire. So I'm not so sure that it was as much being with a lot of people on fire as it was just being with one man on fire. Brother Gary that shared Jesus that was on fire. And then secondly, it was desire in my heart. It was a desire for me to want to know the Holy Spirit had definitely touched me. I don't know where you're at. If you're on fire, I beg you, find somebody that's cold. Find somebody that needs the flame inside. If you're lukewarm or cold, seek out that person that's on fire. You got to have them. You can't go to a cold pot and get on fire. You have to go to the boiling water. Leadership of the church. I don't know where you're at. I know where it was at in my first church. But my challenge for you, do something bold. God won't call us to sit on our hands. And if things are the same today as they were 7 years ago or 10 years ago, I guarantee you we're not following God's will. Because when God calls people, when God called people in the Bible, He called them to do things that they couldn't do on their own. So that way they knew He was there. So I challenge you, don't be our first church. Don't sit on your hands so long that it's too late. Because I'm telling you, we've seen the signs, we watched it. It's time that we catch ourselves on fire, that we allow God, that we open our heart to God, to be set on fire by Him. We can't catch ourselves on fire, but to be set on fire by God and to do noble things, things that we know we can't do on our own. He won't call us to do things that we can do on our own. He'll call us to do things that we think are impossible. So find the fire. Find it. Find the heat. Find the passion to know more about Him. I challenge you.